right, welcome into the fan pregame. It's game seven. We made it here, the final game of the season. And we've got the pregame show after us, a special 1 hour edition of Hockey Central at seven, and then puck drop at eight.
Yeah, it's a big one, of course. It's the biggest pregame of the year because we got the biggest game of the year tonight. We're going to chat with Chris Cuthbert, who's calling the game a little later. We know him. We also know Jeff Merrick. It's Merrick Monday, so he'll come on in about a half hour, and then we'll close the show with one of the biggest Oiler fans going, Brett Kissel.
Brett Kissel. We don't know him, but I know his music.
Oh, we'll know him soon.
Yeah, country music star, huge Oilers fan. It's like perfect show to help you tee up what's going to be the biggest, maybe the best, maybe the most important game in NHL history. And I know that sounds crazy to say out loud, but I mean, it's been the talk all day long, and I don't know if there's something bigger.
Yeah, let's look at the facts, because I do think it's the biggest game in NHL history, because we got the legacy moment for the most important player in the NHL today and arguably the greatest talent that the NHL has ever seen. It would be the first reverse sweep since 1942.
So nobody remembers that.
Yeah, and there was only, you know, a handful of teams in the league then. Now we got a full 32. And yeah, it would end a 31-year drought for Canadian teams. And I know not everyone's in on the cheer for Canada thing, but it's still a landmark moment for ending that drought, potentially. The legacy moment for Connor McDavid. And the reverse sweep, the comeback, like all this is a confluence of so many amazing things happening at once, not to mention, you know, a new TV deal. We're a couple years in down south. But yeah, this is a big moment because, hey, the biggest stage or the biggest player, the most important player is on the biggest stage and now seen or could be seen by more people. This game just has so many stakes. And that's why I agree with pretty much everyone who said, yeah, it's the biggest game in NHL history today.
It's really hard to compare to something like winning a gold medal at the Olympics, and maybe the golden goal is something that, you bring as a big Canadian moment. But this for Connor McDavid, the way he's willed this team back into a series that was basically over, the way that this season has gone for the Edmonton Oilers from the beginning and the turmoil and the new coach and the winning streaks and the getting back into this, everything is coming together with the opportunity to make for an amazing story. And on the other side of that, you've got the Florida Panthers, who are one game away from having the biggest collapse, the biggest choke, to be maybe put in sentences as the most embarrassing series and loss ever. It can't be a bigger swing in terms of one team winning tonight and one team losing and what's at stake. And that's what is so amazing about sports. It's a game seven. This isn't game four where the Oilers could lose, or game five or game six. Everything comes into one game tonight, 160 maybe plus minutes of an opportunity to have your superstar, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, show the world what he's made of, or if you're the Florida Panthers, try to keep from being the most embarrassing and worst ever collapse. Like, it's crazy, the stark difference.
It really is. And I do believe that Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers will be back if they keep this together and they keep moving forward, and there's multiple years and playoff runs and chances at this. But this is a league that is now up to 32 teams. We might see 34 soon. It embraces parity. It's got a salary cap that squeezes everybody to the middle. So I do think these are rare circumstances. There are rare occurrences, and this is one where one player on a truly special team, and I'm not diminishing Draisaitl and Hyman and so on and so forth, but this is truly about McDavid first, where he can pull something away from that median, pull it away from a parity-filled league that wants everyone to have a chance. This is a league that doesn't give superstar legacy moments all the time, but this is truly one and not manufactured in the slightest, and therefore, like, it is huge for that reason. And what I like the most about it is, yeah, this would be a colossal, I don't even want to say choke, a colossal disappointment for the Florida Panthers. And I don't necessarily want to say choke, because the Oilers are just taking it from them.
True.
They're just taking it from them.
A choke implies sometimes that, like, the other team didn't do enough to get themselves to that point, right? But you're right. Like, the Oilers have actually won these games in a strong, meaningful, like, statement way.
They've just taken over in a way that it's not Florida's own doing to me. It is truly the Edmonton Oilers taking the bull by the horns here and stealing this away from them. And I think that just adds to the story here, which
you're already emotional.
Again, I'm having a tough time, and I will be having a tough time. It is, again, the perfect confluence of events leading to something that cannot be manufactured.
Okay, so I said the word storybook. There's a couple other reasons that I think that, I mean, clearly I'm wearing orange, folks. I'm on the Oilers tonight. I have been since the beginning of this little journey of Canada's team. We're going to talk to somebody that knows about Canada's team in a minute. But today's the late Bob Cole's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was also drafted first overall on this exact day in 2011. And La Bamba, which is, you know, the song, was released in this very week in 1987, which was the same year that the Oilers won the Cup in Game 7. I don't know. I'm into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Stars seem to be aligning.
All right. Well, let's see. Chris Cuthbert joins us, Sportsnet Play-by-Play, calling Game 7 tonight. How's it going, CeCe?
It's good. You'd have to check, but I think Paul Maurice was drafted on this day, too. He was Mr. Irrelevant, the very last guy to be drafted in whatever draft that was a long time ago.
I'm going to look it up.
It's not as strong as La Bamba, yep. I don't think.
No, in my opinion.
At least. Let's start pretty self-indulgent here, CeCe. You've called some very big games before, but is this one bigger than all the rest, at least in terms of the NHL?
Well, I've always, whenever I was asked about the golden goal, I was asked, is that your career highlight? Is that as good as it's going to get? And I've always said that I hope there was something else and hope that a Canadian team could win. And this scenario is really something I never even considered probably until 8-1 in game 4. And even then, I didn't really think it had a strong chance. But obviously, with each game, it's become more interesting, and it really could be a special night.
How much credit are you giving yourself for Canada's team, the commercial that's ringing through our ears all summer long?
I'm trying to stay low profile because I don't think Vancouver wants to give me any credit. But I will say, I even thought tonight I might mention that for all the negativity about fans saying, of course we won't cheer for another Canadian team, I sense a lot are getting on the bandwagon right across the country.
Okay, so I've seen a bunch of videos from Sunrise, Florida, and you could honestly think it's Edmonton by the amount of jerseys, the plane rides over, the bars. Like, what are your expectations for the crowd tonight? The Oilers fans have come down in droves, and it might even be a split.
Well, I am curious because it clearly wasn't in the first two games or in game 5. There were Oiler fans here, but not in large number. And it obviously is going to be different tonight. So it'll be fun to see. And you know, now I'm not saying they're going to win, but it's always less exciting when the visiting team clinches the cup on the road. And yet I hope that if it is an Oiler victory tonight, I'm sensing that there might be better atmosphere than would be usual for a visiting team winning the cup.
Yeah, I think this is a test of Florida's fans because we saw some, you know, pretty high prices for third party when we were looking at, you know, game 5 and the chance to win. But now, I mean, I think everyone feels like the Oilers are going to win. And if you're holding that ticket and you're feeling the same way, maybe you take the opportunity to cash out with so many Oiler fans wanting to be in attendance. So this is going to be, I think, an interesting part of tonight's game. This could be the biggest game in NHL history. People have been debating that all day. What's like the strongest factor towards that? Is it the reverse sweep implications that haven't been done since the 1940s? Is it just McDavid's involvement? Is it the Canadian team? Like, what makes this most exciting to you?
I think all of the above, but you know, for forever, as long as I've been in the business, every time a team went down 3-0, we would bring up the 42 Leafs. It's the only reason we know anything about the 42 Leafs is because they were the only team to do it. And now suddenly, not only do you have that scenario on the biggest stage, but you've got Connor McDavid. And I remember, I think there was an anticipation for Sidney Crosby's first cup. There certainly was for Wayne Gretzky's, and I know that, you know, 99 was concerned when the first couple of opportunities slipped by him, and he knew how important that was. And now we've got McDavid on the precipice, so there's a lot of reasons. That's also the social media world, obviously. So all of the above. You know, I actually, Dick Irvin sent me an email yesterday, and then you raised this about it being one of the biggest games ever. And I thought, well, who better to ask than Dick Irvin? And Dick really couldn't come up with an alternative. And so, you know, I thought if he said, wow, obviously it was this or that, then, you know, and he mentioned Jean Beliveau in 1971, the Canadians won in 7 over Chicago, and it was Beliveau's final game. But even then, for historians, that year will be always remembered for Ken Dryden and the Canadians upsetting the big bad Bruins, who were supposed to win the cup. I think there's been a lot of significant games in the past that have not been in the Stanley Cup final, but for this in the final to be this scenario is pretty remarkable.
It feels like McDavid has been getting better and better as the series has gone on. He's capturing these moments. It looks like his game is getting faster and maybe the Panthers are getting slower. For me, it feels like he's primed for a legendary performance, a legendary evening. When you've watched McDavid throughout this run, it's really special. I don't even know what the question is. It's just, it must be a treat for you to get to watch this. And for us, at least, it's really wonderful.
And for a play-by-play guy, you better be ready. Because, when he gets the puck, I got burned on the great assist. He was drafted in this building, and I was going to work that in. He picks up the puck at his own line. By the time I'm just about finished the story, he's going through three Panthers and setting up Corey Perry. So you better be ready for anything when he's on the ice. But I will say that the one other thing that struck me about this run is it's not just McDavid and Draisaitl. In fact, we're still waiting for, I think, Leon to put his real imprint, although the first couple of shifts in the last game were special, to be sure. But, whenever I do my depth charts, I'm constantly reminded now, as we do Warren Fogle, we do the third line, we do Philip Broberg, how important every guy on the roster has become as this series has gone on. And I think it's a lesson for a lot of teams that even if you got the best player in the world, you need so many more parts, and you need a goaltender to get hot like Stuart Skinner, even though he was a healthy scratch, and Warren Fogle was a healthy scratch, and Dylan Holloway was a healthy scratch in the playoffs, and they're all, Corey Perry was too, and yet they come back in the lineup and they've all made such great contributions. So it's a lesson in team building as much as it's a chance to put the greatest player in the game on a pedestal.
Yeah, and there's a coaching lesson too, right? It was Chris Knobloch doing those scratching, and it seems like everything he's done has, for the most part, worked. And, we all know Connor McDavid, we all know Leon Draisaitl, we all understand what they were bringing to the table here. But I think Chris Knobloch was something of an unknown coming into these playoffs. There's some skepticism maybe, hey, just someone familiar with McDavid, that's the best answer to this coaching problem that you guys have. But he seems to be impressing everyone, including yourself.
Yeah, he is an impressive guy, and I think he's become a little more comfortable with the media. We shouldn't really judge a coach on his media avails, but he's become terrific in that too, I think. But everything he's done in this series, I think there was this impression that, he was Connor McDavid's guy, and that never turned out. And in fact, he told us a story just the other day that I found astounding. He was coaching or teaching at a hockey academy in Cranbrook, BC, and one of his students asked him about what he thought about Connor McDavid, this young phenom. He'd never heard of Connor McDavid. He went and did some research, found out who Connor McDavid was, and 1 week later, he got a call from Sherry Basson offering him the job to coach Connor McDavid in Erie. So it's amazing how fast life can come at you.
Okay, so for tonight, obviously the series feels like it's been going on and on and on, and the margin of error is quite thin, but the extra day of rest, you're either coming in with all this momentum as the Edmonton Oilers, who might have even wanted to play even sooner than this, or you're the Florida Panthers that might have had to sit around and be like, oh boy, we can't be that team that blows it. Like, who do you think this favors, if anyone, having that extra day?
I don't know if it does favor anybody. I think it might favor us because I don't think fatigue's going to be a factor. And, it's been long. I'll tell you what, the travel in the last two rounds have been as taxing as anything I've gone through. The Edmonton-Dallas thing was a nightmare for a lot of people because of the weather in Dallas and the distance and everything else. But I think, relatively speaking, after a two-month grind, these teams are decently fresh. They're decently healthy. It's not like last year when Florida, right. I mean, Florida had no chance at game five last year. They were done. I think everybody, even in Florida, knew that. And this is different. And I'm sure Edmonton would like to have Evander Kane healthy for this. But it's not a perfect world. And it's pretty close to it for Edmonton right now.
Is it different, though, for Sergei Bobrovsky? What's the buzz around, where he's at, health, fatigue?
Doesn't talk to the media.
Should there be any concern? And what do you guys know about where he's at in his game?
I don't. You know, we may find out afterwards. Obviously, the numbers aren't very good, but nobody keeps himself in better shape. He was the first guy on the ice at practice this morning, although it was noteworthy that he was not on the ice yesterday. And Paul Maurice tried to say that the schedule worked out, that that was his day off. But Bobrovsky really hasn't had days off like that throughout this run. So to me, it was just let's try and give him a chance to reset. And obviously, the numbers from game one and two and earlier in the series to now are completely different. But it wouldn't shock me if he was going to stand on his head tonight.
So if Edmonton wins tonight, are you okay with it being categorized as a choke? Or do you see it the other way, where Edmonton's just kind of found it at the right time and taken over?
You know, I'm such a positive guy. I would not. Yes. I would not. I don't like the choke. I've got too much respect for what the Oilers are doing, and quite frankly, too much respect for the for Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers. I don't think this. The Panthers think they could have won Game Five. They admit that maybe they were fortunate to win a couple of the early games. I'm not in the choke concept. If they got blown out tonight, I don't think that would look good. But I'm giving the team that came back from three down full marks if they do it tonight.
CeCe, what's your favorite part of a Game 7? Knowing the Stanley Cup's in the building, you're going to see something historical on either side tonight. Like, what gets you most excited about what's ahead?
Well, I think Paul Maurice kind of said it yesterday. Something about finality, that you know that it's all going to get left out there tonight. So, quite frankly, there's been a lot of Game 7s that get cautious and not as exciting. I hope this is as good as some of the other games in the series, but there's been a lot of 2-1s and 3-1s and 1-0 Game 7s. And so we'll see tonight. But I'm sure these guys are not worried about the entertainment value. It's all about the result tonight.
Okay, well, we can't wait to hear you call it in just a couple hours. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy it.
Awesome to be with you guys. And could be history in the making tonight.
It will be. Thanks, CeCe. That's Chris Cuthbert. Thanks, Dad. Oh, can't
one
wait
last
for
day
tonight
on the per diem. One out.
Hey, bring us home something, CeCe.
We could send a text. Send the text.
Yeah, that was fun. Very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, so tonight is so, I'm trying to view it as like a singular hockey game because it is just Game 7, and honestly, nothing else really should matter. But I am so buying into the narrative of momentum and the drag them back, and we're going to keep pushing this series. And tonight is the first and only chance that the Oilers have to win the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And the Panthers have now had multiple chances to win the Cup, and they've seen it slip away and slip away and slip away. And I can't help but think that there is something emotional, mentally about that, that favors Edmonton. They have a one chance tonight to win the Stanley Cup, and I think they do it. And I've been very much excited about that one. And so I have some best bets, and they are to go with the theme of storybook. All right.
Okay.
First is for the game to go to overtime. You know what? We want a classic. Like, I want to look back on this. This has already been an amazing series. So if you want to bet it to go to overtime, +320. But my best favorite, exciting bet, is McDavid to score the overtime winner at +4,000 or 40-1. This is a guy made for big moments. He has everything he said on the podium. You know, looking forward to having people doubt us again. We're going to drag him back to Alberta. I just think he lives what he says. Like, he has provided the inspiration, and then he delivers it. If there is a night where you get to learn about the lore of Connor McDavid having his moment, tonight would be the night.
Yeah, I think if we've learned anything about Connor McDavid, it's that, you know, the intensity is just as powerful as the talent. I really, really think we've uncovered something different about this guy. And for that reason, I don't think it's going to go to overtime tonight. I like the Edmonton Oilers. I think this is going to be a different tenor to tonight's game. I think Edmonton is going to take over Florida and that rink. And I think it's going to feel a lot like an Oilers home game. And they've been doing karaoke. They've been partying. They've been taking third periods off when it comes to at least feeling tense and being into the game. They're into the game, but they're celebrating a win already in the third period. I wouldn't be surprised if it looks that way tonight. I think the Oilers can win this one. I think there's a couple outcomes, potential outcomes. I guess there's many than, or a lot more than just a couple. But I see it as like kind of a tight game where the Oilers climb back or they get out early and it's just free rolling. Mm-hmm. And I think the Oilers might win by a lot of goals tonight. Just to score five or more is plus 525. I think we could get to that point where they jump on them early, maybe a couple empty netters.
I think that first goal is like,
and it's a party.
The most important thing. If you get on either team, you get on the scoreboard first tonight and you're the Oilers. I mean, do you not think that Sergei Bobrovsky and that team is kind of like, uh-oh, here we go. Like, it's a collapse. You've started the streak of the collapse. But if you're the Panthers, you get on the board first. You're like, okay, now we can just forget about everything. Let's just win this game.
I think that's where the choky thing might come. Because I agree with CeCe. I don't think they're choking. I think the Oilers are taking it away from them. But I think there are some choky elements where, oh, like we lost this one and it's slipping away and you can't get yourself back into games. And I guess the series, like if it plays out like that and the Oilers can front run in this game, then I feel like it will be hard to have that emotional response. So, you know, again, I don't think this is all mental. I think this is a team taking it from them. But if it gets to the point where it's kind of rough early for Florida, I could see, you know, the suitcase packed pretty early.
Okay, Elliot Friedman just tweeted something that's stunning to me.
Okay.
The national anthem performer tonight is Canadian legend Alanis Morissette. What are the Panthers doing? This is like a home arena for the Oilers. I'm stunned. Pick someone that's American.
Where's Alanis from? I know she's Canadian, but is she from out west?
No, she's from Ottawa, isn't she?
Okay.
So I just can't believe they would pick her.
She's seen the Boston Pizza commercial.
She has seen the Boston Pizza 100%. Commercial. I just think that's outstanding. It's outstanding.
When people were getting all excited about Shania Twain, I was going to say, Alanis better. Like, I'm more of an Alanis Morissette guy than Shania Twain. But Shania worked wonders for the Oilers.
You're flying a Canadian legend down to sing both anthems, maybe just the Canadian anthem. I don't even care. The fact that she's in the building is just...
And is it true Roberto Luongo is doing
Roberto
the drum?
Roberto Luongo is also
He's a team employee. He's an executive.
That's actually true. That's
like you go from the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus, to, you know, can we get someone from upstairs because we're running out of ideas? Listen, the vibes are off in Florida right now.
They don't know what they're doing. But you know what they are doing is they're putting Kyle Okposo in the lineup. And I think that's an emotional decision. Cousins is out. I mean,
You think that's an emotional decision?
I think like emotional as in,
sentiment?
Yeah, sentiment.
Oh man, can't be playing the sentiment card
right now. I agree.
Paul Maurice.
I'm sorry. I mean, the Okposo Cousins, it's not like we're, it's not that the tides aren't turning that much, but
unlike
it's
the Oilers,
because the guy's
though,
been in the league forever and they want him to lift the cup.
I think you're splitting hairs between guys who are just not getting the job done down there. Yep. Like this Oilers team has just seemed deeper at the margins, which is crazy to say, but they're getting it done in those ways that Florida is not. Florida can't get any contributions, it seems, depth-wise, where the Oilers suddenly, you look up and down the lineup and you've got something. The depth of this team really showing, and that's what was supposed to win the series for Florida, and yet it seems like the Oilers have grabbed that sort of advantage as well.
And Alanis has said it best, isn't it ironic? We're going to take a quick break. Jeff Merrick will join us. And then Brett Kissel will join us. Like, we're just knocking off great Canadian legends that are joining us, including maybe we get, let's see if we can get Alanis on the phone. We got a new producer, Austin Mackey, filling in today. I think that's a lot to ask him. Okay, we'll take a quick break. Jeff Merrick will join us, and then Brett Kissel, and we'll get you set for Stanley Cup Game 7.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back on the Fan Pregame Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Blue Jays are playing later. If you want a split screen, because they bring a lot of joy. Sportsnet 1 tonight, that they'll be playing against the Boston Red Sox. You've got Chris Bassitt on the mound, and they're starting a three-game series. Sportsnet 590 The Fan will have it in Sportsnet 1, and when the baseball game ends, actually Sportsnet 590 The Fan will take on the TV radio feed as well. So you can hear and watch all of the sports tonight on Sportsnet.
Perfect.
I don't really have much else to say about the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll leave that to the Blue Jays guys.
Yeah, and we will. And you know, we'll get to it. But it's a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. We're the fan pregame.
We had to make sure everyone knew.
Yeah.
That the Blue Jays are
there
playing.
There are options. There always are options.
There's always options. And Rogers Ignite, you can stream both.
Oh, yeah.
Second, I get in my car, I got this 1 hour special edition pregame show of Hockey Central started at 7 o'clock.
They'll be on
right after us. Okay, so what's the perfect scenario for you tonight?
Ooh, perfect scenario. I think at this point, you know, seeing the story, the final chapter of the story, which is defined by a comeback right now, written, I think it's got to involve the Edmonton Oilers winning if we're talking about writing the perfect story. And then you start thinking about the alternative, right? Like what that means for others. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean for Paul Maurice, who's a legendary coach?
Legacy stuff
like,
is big
right now. I don't know how you come back, surely. But can you come back from that? It's going to be really, really difficult for a guy like Paul Maurice to get over this. And then you're thinking about the future for the Florida Panthers. Like, it's really hard to get to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. We're talking 2 years in a row, heartbreak, 2 years in a row, potentially. And just where does that leave them? Yeah, that's a really good team. They've got some decisions they have to make, clearly. Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, among them. I think they'll be fine. But boy, I mean, it is. We are seeing how taxing it is to get through it once, back to back. And to come up empty-handed would be really, really difficult. But again, the way this is going feels so Edmonton right now.
It sure does. I was listening to Jeff a little earlier today on the Jeff Merrick Show, and he was proud to say that tonight is the biggest game in NHL history. So, Jeff, why is that the case? Thanks for coming on.
Well, first of all, it's a Game 7 Stanley Cup final. We don't see these very often. Second of all, we've never seen this. If Edmonton wins this thing tonight, it's the biggest game in the history of the NHL. We don't see this. Like, I know the caveat is always, oh, we haven't seen this since 1942. 1942 was a different hockey universe in the NHL. I mean, it was wartime. There were a lot of younger players, like kids playing on these teams because there was a curfew because of the war for adults, and kids were exempt from some of those curfews, so there were more kids playing on those teams. It was 10 years before Hockey Night in Canada even hit the airwaves. It was it even predates the moniker that I hate most in hockey, which is the original six. Like, it was even before that. Like, it was such a different hockey universe that I'm almost embarrassed to say, well, it hasn't happened since 1942. I might as well say it hasn't happened since 1942 when we played, you know, hockey on Mars. Like, that's how far back it was. Like, these things, like, hockey is NHL is very, very hard. Like, we've seen Cinderella teams get there before, but then always flame out at the end. It is so hard to pull this off. And getting down 3-0, like, I know we'll look at, okay, people will point out, like, oh, what about the Red Sox and the Yankees? That was a 3-0 comeback. It's like, yeah, but that wasn't the World Series. This is doing it on the biggest stage in that sport. Like, this is poised to be... You know, even like Miracle on Ice, 1980, that wasn't the gold medal game. Like, the U.S. had to beat the Finns still. This is like one of the great achievements, if the Oilers can pull it off, in the history of hockey, done on the biggest stage. It's more than just a hockey moment. It's a great sports moment if the Edmonton Oilers can pull this off.
I think, too, Jeff, it's more than just a reverse sweep, the first since 1942 and maybe the first that's, you know, really legitimate for this conversation.
Because first in color.
Yeah.
color.
But, like, even if it was the Dallas Stars green, I don't think it would mean as much, right? Like, the fact that Connor McDavid is leading this elevates it, does it not?
The best player, yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, too. It's the best player in the game. It's the best player in the game that's doing this. And what do we always lament? You know, the players that join the... We talked about this last week, right? Like, the best players to never win the Stanley Cup. And there's a lot of Hall of Famers in there, whether it's Marcel Dion, Gilbert Perreault, Henrik Lundqvist, Jerome McGinley, like Joe Thornton. Like, go down the list of all the elite-level players that never won the Stanley Cup. And the other thing about it is, You know, I was mentioning this the other day to someone. When the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 2010, I was working at Hockey Night in Canada. And when it became obvious that Chicago was going to go on a run here, I thought, you know, I should probably go back and read some of the stuff from 1961, that Blackhawks team, the Eddie Litzenberger team. I should probably go back and sort of, you know, read or watch or sort of absorb as much as I can to give this some sort of Chicago Blackhawks context when it finally happens. And the thing that really struck me, Justin, was listening to the or reading the quotes from Bobby Hull. I know Bobby Hull goes on to have, you know, one of the great, you know, careers in the history of the NHL for a winger. But you hear him talk after the 1961 win by the Hawks. And very much in his mind, he thinks he's going to win like three, four, maybe five more of these things. Beginning of the dynasty for the Chicago Blackhawks. They've turned the corner. They're not the outpost in the NHL anymore. And you listen to the way that Hull was talking. He's convinced he's winning a handful of these things. He never came close to winning again. You know, that Hawks team did not win the Stanley Cup again. But if you hear Hull talk about it in 61, you think he's going back every year. The fact that the Florida Panthers have got there in back-to-back years is astounding, just because of how hard it is to do. Making it even more difficult is how you get back-to-back Stanley Cup appearances in a salary cap universe. There's no guarantees that Florida's going to come close again, just like there's no guarantees that Connor McDavid is ever going to get close again. You know, Mike Rupp on the show this afternoon brought up the example of Alexander Ovechkin. Alexander Ovechkin is going to go down as the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. He got exactly one shot at it. Now, he made the most of his shot, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup, but he only got one chance to do it. And that is more the norm in a lot of ways than, you know, Crosby walking away with three Stanley Cup victories here. So there's no guarantees that Florida's getting back or any of those players are getting back. And there's no guarantees that Connor McDavid is ever going to get back, especially in the Western Conference, where it's a murderer's row of teams. Like, good luck getting their back-to-back in the Western Conference. It's harder than ever. The competition is fierce. There's more teams. It's a salary cap. If I'm, you know, any player on either of these teams, one of the things I'm thinking about is this might be my only shot at it if I'm an Oiler. And if I'm a Florida Panther, I'm saying this might be my last chance at this.
Yeah, especially for Florida. Back-to-back Stanley Cup final appearances. Tough to bounce back if they can't get either one of them. From a league standpoint, Jeff, what's done is kind of done here. I mean, they've got this game, this stage, game seven, with the most important player in the NHL playing in it, which of course is huge for the broadcast networks and for the finances, I imagine, of this league.
Yes.
What do you think is the byproduct of this run for the NHL? Like, what does this moment mean in the grand scheme of things?
Well, first of all, it's something that jumps off the pages of just hockey. Now, complicating all of this is it's happening in June, where attention has, you know, turned to other sports, most notably baseball, although it's still early in the MLB season, not even at the All-Star break yet. Well, first of all, from a financial point of view, you have an Edmonton Oilers team that is just juicing the cash register and hockey-related revenue. So, like, again, we always talk about, okay, if you're a player in the NHL and you're concerned about escrow, you want the big market teams and the big revenue generators to get as deep into the playoffs as possible. The Edmonton Oilers, big generator, Connor McDavid, they go to the Stanley Cup final. The New York Rangers end up playing three rounds. That's great for hockey-related revenue. So from a financial point of view, like, I know it's not the Maple Leafs, and that would be, you know, the big financial home run for the NHL, but still, like, you got the Rangers going three rounds, you got a Canadian team that's making a lot of money going into the Stanley Cup final. Financially, that's great for everybody involved. I don't think, and we'll see in Canada, this is a huge story and everybody wants a piece of it. It's great. You have the 1993 backdrop to all of it. The last time a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup, it's all good. It's all good. Again, it's another shot in the arm for hockey in Canada at a time where it probably needs one because, you know, we've seen Canadian teams get to the Stanley Cup final. We've seen Calgary get there and Vancouver and Ottawa, et cetera, Montreal. Every team except for Winnipeg and Toronto, for that matter. Thank you very much. But in the United States, I'm going to be really curious to see what the effect is. Like in the state of Florida, it's fantastic because, you know, more kids will pick up hockey sticks, boys and girls, will pick up hockey sticks, and this will be that shot in the arm that they need. I'll be curious to see what the impact of this is on the entire sports universe, because although it took them a while to get around to it, I mean, you look at all the commentary shows on ESPN. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, mm-hmm. for example, like, he's finally talking about hockey, and I'm going to the game, and, you know, Subban's on, and, you know, even, you know, Bissonnette's crossing over from TNT to ESPN. Like, people want a piece of this. This is a big story, and right now the NHL is still in, you know, spread the gospel, spread the good word story around the United States. So I don't know what the effect is right now outside of Florida, the state itself, but I can only imagine that from a public perception point of view, it's never a bad idea to have the biggest star in the game playing in a game seven and maybe capping off the greatest comeback that we've seen, certainly in hockey and maybe in sports in general. I just don't know how to quantify that other than they're making a lot of money in the process here, Justin.
Jeff, one last one for you. We got to let you. We got Brett Kissel coming on, country music legend.
No way.
I know, right?
Edmonton Oilers fan.
I know. Wow. So he's going to come on right after you. So we just got one last one for you. Removing Connor McDavid from the answer, who's got the most to gain tonight on either side in terms of legacy moment?
I wonder about Paul Maurice, too, since he's coached for so long. And he's been to the Stanley Cup final before. I have a real soft spot in my heart for Paul Maurice through all of it, but Connor McDavid, like his Hall of Fame case has already been made, but you just don't want to go into the Hall of Fame without being able to say, and I won the Stanley Cup. You know, Connor McDavid watched Jack Eichel. Remember like it was Connor and Jack in that year in the Fort Lauderdale draft. And, of course, Connor goes first and Jack goes second. And, you know, for the longest time, those two, and probably forever, will be compared with one another. Eichel got his cup last year. You know, that burns with McDavid. You know, McDavid never won in the OHL. You know, he lost the OHL Cup with his Marlies to Robbie Fabry and the Mississauga Rebels. So it's been a long time since Connor McDavid didn't win in the World Cup of Hockey. He's playing on Team North America. And Connor McDavid hasn't had that big championship moment, and that burns. Like, to the point we used to always joke about, we don't believe that Nathan MacKinnon has upper teeth, because he didn't smile until the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. I think, Ailish, and I'll wrap up and hand this over to Brett Kissel, I think that we're saying the same thing about Connor McDavid. When's the last time you saw his upper teeth, you two?
I will have to go back. We'll have to go back to draft night, mate. Oh, actually, didn't when they flipped that card over? I don't know if there was a smile there.
Yeah, not a lottery night, Ailish. Not a lottery night.
Yeah, I think he's getting married this summer. So how about then? But maybe before that.
Okay,
that's good.
Be a big summer.
That's even better than your day with the Cup. That's even better than that.
Maybe you can have them do both at the same time. Okay, Jeff, got to let you go.
Can you imagine? Yeah, no. Okay, I know. You got to get the Kissel. Yeah, you're done with my act.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jeff. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show, 32 Thoughts, the podcast.
Listen, I think they could probably pull that off.
Yeah.
The cop at a wedding. I mean,
I think if there's anyone on that team that's getting married this summer, that's the captain that could have the cup at their wedding, it could be Connor McDavid.
I think you probably have to go through, the wife to be to make sure that she's okay with that. But I imagine the coolest guest of honor. I imagine it'd be all right.
Can you have a plus one for the keeper of the cup too? Yeah, he's going to be there.
Maybe you don't want the whole Stanley Cup crew at the wedding. But
just the one.
You'd have to. Right?
You need the white gloves.
Yeah.
In the moment. Imagine, just the whole Oilers team drinking beers out of the cup at Connor McDavid's wedding. I'm sure there's a Florida Panther getting married this summer, too.
That's true.
But somebody's getting married.
It won't affect the wedding, but, the vibe of the wedding, somewhat impacted by tonight's result. It would be absolutely off the wall, no questions asked at that wedding. But, there might be a tinge of disappointment if it doesn't go well tonight.
I feel nervous. I don't know why.
Maybe they can get Brett Kissel to play at the wedding.
That would be pretty cool. I'm sure you'd love to.
That's a terrible idea.
I'm sure you'd love
to. We should recap, because Alanis Morissette apparently doing the anthem tonight for the Florida Panthers. We're thinking that's a bit of a miscalculation on the part of the Florida Panthers, inviting a Canadian, I guess, to do the Canadian anthem. I don't know if she's doing the Star Spangled Banner as well. But either way, I mean, it's inviting some criticism.
100%. I'm trying to think of the equivalent. And if the Oilers were going to have Game 7 at home, I don't think that they're flying in An American,
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande. That would be, I mean, she's a huge Panthers fan. That's too much.
That would be bad.
It would be a Canadian because you got to feel the moment, mm-hmm. you know? I just looked at my Twitter feed to see if we were missing anything in terms of pregame, and it's just photos of all the reporters that are down in Florida of the front of bars with Oilers fans hanging over the railing. There's, you know, the Spin Chicklet guys are at Elbow Room and they're getting kicked out. They're all fired up. Like, there's
make it to the end of the night.
I don't know if they will. There's a sea of people and they're all wearing Oilers jerseys.
I think this is an understated aspect of what's happening right now.
1,000%.
Like, I think all of Edmonton has found connecting flights to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And it could feel like an Edmonton Oilers home game tonight. Mm-hmm. The celebration, if the Oilers win, might feel like it's happening in Rogers Place, or at least some sort of equivalent to it. If they take over this barn, the thoughts that are already creeping in the heads of the Panthers, it's like, oh, everyone gave up on us too. That could be a real thing that they have to overcome, in addition to mm-hmm. losing the last three games, in addition to the best player in the world hitting his stride at the exact perfect moment. I mean, this is starting to add up in a bad way here for Florida.
Okay, let's add to the Oilers' excitement tonight with Brett Kissel, who joins us, country music star in Florida for Game 7. Brett, we appreciate you jumping on. How is the vibe in Sunrise? It looks like it's Edmonton South.
Oh, it 100% is. Like, we brought the party down to Florida. We brought oil country down here to the Sunshine State, and it's unbelievable. We hear there's like 100,000 people in Edmonton right now partying their faces off, but we've taken over the arena. I kid you not, without a shadow of a doubt, I would say from what I've seen right now, we're like 2 hours from puck drop, there's 2-1 Oilers fans. 2-1 Oilers fans,
wow.
Right here in Florida right now.
Wow. Okay, so that's awesome. That's huge news. I mean, this is definitely a developing story. You sound incredibly excited, which is awesome. But yeah, what from an Oilers fan, what would an Oilers victory tonight mean to you?
It would mean everything. You know what? You look at the biggest moments of my entire life. My wife walks down the aisle. That was one of the best moments of my entire life. My wife and I, we've got 4 beautiful children. The best moments of my entire life. The Edmonton Oilers win the Stanley Cup. It is literally the 3rd best thing. From getting married to having my kids, watching the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, I've never seen it in my lifetime. I was born in 1990 when the Oilers won their last Stanley Cup. I was born 2 days after, and now I get to see it with my own 2 eyes. I so hope that this happens. I'm going to cry the happiest tears, and I'm going to find the nearest fountain, and I'm going to go full Ovechkin on the celebration.
Beautiful. I can't wait to see it. All right, so what's the recipe for success for tonight? What do the Oilers need to do to really complete this comeback and seal the deal?
You know what? I am no hockey analyst, but I've been watching the Oilers since I was a little kid. There's a couple of things that are really key here today. Stuart Skinner has to have the biggest game of his entire life. Everybody thinks that Sergei Bobrovsky is now going to bounce back and going to do what Bobrovsky is meant to do after getting paid whatever, $700 million. Here's the thing about Stuart Skinner. He loves the city of Edmonton. He's an Edmonton boy. He understands what this means to the franchise and to the city. This is Stuart Skinner's game. Oh, and we also have number 97 and number 29 and 93 and number 18. And Dylan Holloway is also going to have a big game tonight. This boy knows how to play the game, so it's going to be huge for the Oilers. That's exactly what's going to happen here tonight. And we've got thousands of Oilers fans filing in to the whatever bank arena this is called. and we cannot wait. That Let's Go Oilers chants are just absolutely drowning out anything that the Florida Kittens are thinking of doing tonight.
Oh, cutting a perfect promo. We're talking to Brett Kissel, country star. I know you're a big jersey guy. I had this idea once that I get a jersey to commemorate every championship that my team's won. I have no
jerseys.
But I know you're a big jersey guy. So if you had to have a jersey made to commemorate this run, and I know 97 is probably the answer, but give us like the cult hero, the hipster version. If you want to celebrate this team, what number are you putting on your jersey with a Stanley Cup final patch on it?
Connor Brown. Connor Brown has been the unsung hero of the Edmonton Oilers Stanley Cup finals. this series and Matias Janmark. And you know what? Just because I love all the guys, I'm going to get a Cody Ceci jersey too. And you know what else? I'm going to get a Vinny Desharnais and Brett Kulak from Stony Plain, Alberta. And you know what else? I'm getting a Calvin Pickard jersey too. Do you know why? Because he stole us a couple games when we were playing against Vancouver. And you know what else? I'm getting Evander Kane because everybody counted him out and said him and Corey Perry are worth nothing. We brought him to this franchise and they've been worth everything. So you know what? The real answer is we've got 25, 26, 30 guys on this squad. I'm buying every jersey.
You're going to need a bigger closet by the end of this trip. Oh, God, Brett, we just heard that Canadian Alanis Morissette is singing the national anthem at tonight's game. Yeah, I think that's a bit interesting that they pick a Canadian to come down and sing O Canada and Star Single Banner. Like maybe the Florida Panthers, they're in their own head.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just happy that it's Alanis because she's such a great singer and such a phenomenal artist. So this is great for Canada. A lot of us as Canadians watching from home or watching in the arena are going to be like, well, that's perfect. It's one of our own. Okay, big mistake, Florida. So that's perfect. We love it. We'll take it.
Okay, one last one. We'll let you go because I know you want to get to the celebration. What's your prediction? It's your moment. You're on TV. We're going to write it down. We're going to record it. What happens tonight? What's the prediction?
There's going to be two outcomes. If it goes to overtime, Zach Hyman scores the overtime winner. I said that on Spit and Chicklets a couple days ago, but in my truest heart, I believe the Edmonton Oilers are winning 5-2 tonight. They might get one or two empty netters. Yeah, we're going to steal the game 5-2, Edmonton Oilers.
All right, Brett, I can't wait to follow along on your journey tonight. Enjoy it. I hope it all goes well for you and get the jerseys loaded up on the PJ on the way home, all right?
You betcha. Let's go, Oilers!
There you go. Thanks so much, Brett.
Listen, right there, we're 2-1 ratio, Oilers to Cats.
That's
fans.
Awesome.
And again, we're only an hour 10 from, you know, Alanis Morissette singing the anthem.
That's awesome.
That's probably a pretty good indication of what's going on. I'm telling you, Panthers fans bailed. They took the $15,000 that was dangling right there with the tickets that they could sell to Albertans.
I also think that Brett Kissel named every former Maple Leaf, and maybe on purpose. Cody Ceci jersey, Connor
have.
Brown, Zach Hyman jersey.
First was funny.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt it. We might have to hold it to him. He better
we'll
be showing
on.
Us
we'll see
a picture
closet.
Of every single jersey for every player on this Oilers team if they win the Stanley Cup here. He's going to need a new closet. He might need a new house the big closet.
I mean, he's won enough awards he could afford one. Okay, I was looking at Brett Kissel's tour because I was like, oh, maybe he's around. Maybe we can finagle tickets. Well, I did see that he is playing at Rogers Place on September 14th, which would obviously be, you know, before the NHL season starts. But can you imagine that guy on stage in all of those jerseys? He'd do that thing where they rip them all off.
He did that.
And yeah, he would
you
have
saw a video of him doing
yeah,
that?
I've
he's
seen it.
Every jersey.
But he'd have a Stanley Cup version of it and maybe some of the jerseys. So yeah. I just think perfect for Brett Kissel would be if he gets to play at Rogers Place after they've maybe won a Stanley Cup. Be kind of cool.
I'd say it'd be like the second Stanley Cup parade if the Oilers win.
Yeah,
but
that
I feel
that
like they're going to
be
parading
be parade.
The entire summer if the Edmonton Oilers can finish the job here tonight.
I think they do it.
So he said 5-2. What do you know? We've
well,
gone through best bets.
I said early, like I want a nice like overtime. I want to be on the edge of my seat. I mean, going to be anyway. But if the Oilers win, I think it's a big time goal scoring bonanza. Like, I mean, I like the 5-2 idea. I like it being you just go out swinging and the Panthers get down 1-0, maybe 2-0. And it's just like, I can't see the same resolve and the same fight that I see from the Oilers all season long being able to happen. I just think it gets in your head. I mean, I've been in a series before when you just think it's slipping away. Like, what can you do? So we'll see.
14 straight unders in Stanley Cup final game sevens, but this just feels different in a lot of ways anyway. So I don't know how much I'm digging into that historical data. I guess we should
say. I provided that historical data, so don't worry about it.
You did. I think we, like, credit goes to these Oilers fans, like, because they've put on a show this entire run. It's been especially notable here in the Stanley Cup final, helping will their team to get to this point. But this is truly a reflection on how good that fan base is and how much it means. The Oilers mean to Edmontonians, to Alberta. It is awesome to see. I'm glad that they are taking over Florida, Brett Kissel included, and it's just going to make tonight even more special than it already will be.
All right, folks. So right after us, we've got an hour version of Hockey Central. Getting the guys ready now. It's going to be awesome. Puck drop at 8 o'clock, of course, and Blue Jays baseball. We got the Jays and the Red Sox at 7 o'clock. And on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, it's our guy Bassett on the mound. Everyone's still our guy until they're not. Lots of Blue Jays stuff happened this weekend. We're going to have all week to continue to talk about Blue Jays. Tonight's Game 7. We're not going to get another hockey game for a long time.
Yeah, but we got a huge hockey week, even after Game 7. Stanley Cup Final tonight. We got free agency. Canada Day is a week today. We are still in hockey season, although it's late June.
Okay, everyone, enjoy it. It's going to be an absolute treat. Like we've said it, the biggest game in NHL history, possibly 1 hour away. I can't wait to get home. So the Gardener better be paved the way for me because I'm flying down.
So excited. It's going to be amazing.
Have a good night, everyone. Talk tomorrow.